sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while.
But quite clearly you're wrong.
He stands between me and any trouble I'm causing.
You worms, that you. Don't chicken lips me. Interesting to talk about for change.
Do you know how many margaritas I had in Vegas last year?
Do you?
Don't you yawn. Do not yawn. Well, good afternoon here in the hills, 88.9 FM. Welcome, Lee, and we have a special guest in the studio, Julianne, who we will be speaking to after the half hour. But in the meantime, Lee,
yes,
what's happening in your world?
What's happening? I've got elections flooding over my head at the moment, and I can barely lift it out to breathe.
Well, the election is this Saturday. Saturday, the 2nd of July.
In all the rubbish that's been going on, I didn't even realise that. I thought it was still a month away.
Me too. How bad's that? This is what you do when you force us to vote. We're just going to be like little brown's cows and go, no, just tell us what day and shovel us in there and that. But you know something that came up that I was unaware of? You know how Turnbull, our Prime Minister, did the official launch of the campaign?
You're very familiar calling him Turnbull.
I said Prime Minister Turnbull.
No, okay.
I did write that because I think it's rude that we only call them by the last name. Whereas in the USA, they are always respectful.
Mr. President.
Yeah, and no matter when they've been and even when they're gone. And I think that's deserved.
I think it's a bit much that his their children have to call them that.
What, the PM?
No, Mr. President.
Why?
Well, I think they could call him Dad.
Now you're being an idiot.
Go on, thank you.
Talking about being idiots, I think we as people are idiots because with Prime Minister Turnbull's official launch on Sunday, I thought to myself, that's really odd. Haven't they been campaigning like for weeks and weeks and weeks? And Bill Shorten, opposition leader, he launched his 2 weeks before, and I think, what are they saying launching? Well, I found out something that I was totally unaware of at my very young age. Don't say anything. And that is... Isn't you?
I said nothing.
It's not like you're trailing by very far, very much. That when they officially launch their campaign, that's when the party actually puts its hand in its coffers to pay. Prior to that, all that campaigning, all that flying around, driving around, advertising, comes out of the taxpayers' fund.
I just think that's... I don't think people know that.
No, I know. Start.
No, I just think it's outrageous. That this thing, why did they actually have to declare election from that far out then if they know they're effectively going to get 3 months' worth of free advertising?
And if we're paying for it. Yeah. I was so unaware of that. So I think that's something that should be brought to the fore somewhere along the line. And I'm just wondering, that's the federal election. Is that the same situation with state?
I don't know.
We'll have to sort of look into that.
So for those that need to know, though, voting is this Saturday, as you've mentioned. I've had a look up in the hills here, and it's either going to... It's virtually in every little township around the hills, and it's either going to be in your community hall or in the primary school, the local primary school. So I dare say they're probably not far from each other.
Do you always go to the same? I always go to the same place to vote.
No, I like to stir them up a little bit.
No, I don't mean people. I mean the place.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't like it when I'm out of it. When I'm out of area, they don't like that.
Oh, my. You're one of them.
Yeah, I am. Evie, I was driving down Hackney Road about 2 weeks ago, and I just picked up my brother. He'd come off a shift on a ship. That's a bit hard to say.
Don't say that fast.
No, he had. And so by the time we got to Hackney Road, it was about 1 o'clock. It was raining and, all the roadworks that are going on there. So it's down to about 40K limit. And this guy on a motorbike, like a little scooter or a moped, as some people call it, was riding next to us, and he virtually tapped on the window. So Dave winds the window down, or what do you do? You press the button.
Was he driving?
No, I was... No,
You were driving?
He was on the passenger side.
Yep.
And he says to Dave, he said, 60's not 40, mate.
the guy on the scooter.
And Dave looked at me and I looked back and we're thinking, what? Now, I've actually got my car set on cruise control because I don't want to get picked up on 40. So I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
And so we just looked around and he said, mate, we're doing 40. He said, well, if you want to talk about it, pull over the side of the road. We'll have a talk about it. Well... So we just wind out the window, 1 o'clock in the morning, rain coming down.
So this is on a scooter, like a Moby Ped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
There's two of us burly guys sitting in the front.
And there's this person, do you think maybe he might have been...
And he's something. He's about our age. So you know, he's a youngster.
So he's an idiot.
What came to mind is, if you want to start something, someone's going to finish it. What have you got in your mind?
I guarantee you that night with you two and the guy on the scooter, I know who would have finished it.
But I don't get what people do when they...
Why would you start it?
Well, and this leads me on to football.
Yes, I have a problem with football at the moment, Lee, as you know.
Please explain.
With the AFL. You know all that carry on about, Eddie and Caroline and, you know, the bullying and all that. And that was talked to death, so I'm not going to talk about that. But it did bring to mind, I saw some reports on the weekend from the footy. And every football match I saw, someone punched someone in the stomach, right, during the game in the back, right, in the back line. And I'm thinking they get fined $1,500, but it gets reduced to $1,000 because they admit to doing it. Now, if the AFL are going to go on about bullying, being part of the White Ribbon movement, which is against violence against women, bullying in general, racial abuse of players and throwing out people out of the Oval when they're being abusive or disrespectful, what are they teaching our kids when they're playing, learning the game of footy? Male and females are learning it these days and absolutely loving it, that punching the stomachs behind the scenes is okay.
Well, I'll go one step further because I absolutely agree with you, but this jumper punch that is sort of going out now, but that used to be something that you grab someone by the jumper and basically crack them in the jaw.
Yeah.
All the antagonistic behaviour between the players where they're pushing, shoving, I mean, sticking their finger up your nose. I mean, once again, what do they expect is going to happen? You got all these guys that have been in the gym. They've built themselves up Sherman tanks. Either the violence has got to be completely wiped out and all the antagonistic behaviour of any sort wiped out, or I dare say it, let it go. But of course, we're not going to let it go. We want this to be a clean sport.
Well, do you think then if someone continuously does the punching in the stomach, because, you know, you win the guy and, you know, he's out of play for a couple of minutes because he's just trying to cope, they're actually still eligible for the Brownlow medal. Now, the Brownlow is for best and fairest, right? Best, I get, that's you can be best but not fair.
Yeah.
But when you're adding fairest, you've got to have someone that plays a very good, clean game. I don't think punching in the stomach is clean.
Well, I think it's a zero tolerance personally. Then they can, they might not always agree with the umpire's decision, but they've learnt just to run off and forget about it, not to stand there and argue like we used to in the old days. So it'd be the same with this level of violence that you're talking about, of any sort. Stop it. Because if you're going to allow a little bit, then you haven't stopped it at all. But I notice even the ads about football, they'll show the big clashes, the bumps, the elbow to the jaw. I mean, they still haven't got it out of their psyche, the people that are doing the ads on television programs.
No, they look at it as being a tough game. But I'm going right back to school and where kids are learning. And what do kids do, Lee? They watch you and they mimic you. Now, if they're watching, and they do, they watch every week, they sit there with mum and dad and they, you know, yell and scream, and we all do it.
Yeah.
And then the dad, and, you know, I'm not sure about mums, but, you know, you turn around and go, oh, yeah, got it. Oh, yeah, beautiful in the stomach. Yeah, got him down. And your child's sitting there going, oh, okay, I might try that.
And every grade of football down below, you know, all of the amateur league footy on top of that as well. I mean, some of those grades there, they're not the cleanest of grades, and, you know, they'll just continue. If you don't wipe it out, they just continue to the violence within the sport, the violence within the game.
Well, I did see my child, who, you know, we did find his game last
he's
week,
a brute.
By the way. No, he's okay. He copped one. Right in the guts. Like, so, diddle me.
You went out on the field, did you?
I wanted to. I was about to go out there and go, don't you pick on my child, who I was about to refer to Julianne, who is sitting here in our studio and who we will be speaking to at the turn of the half hour, that he's a big boy. But you don't punch my child in the stomach and then he buckles over and lays there and I think, oh, no.
Yeah, doesn't everybody want to have their mum at the footy with them? And no matter, 35 years old and he's still got his mum at the footy yelling at the opposition.
Ah, shut up.
We have in the studio the beautiful Julianne Roddy. She's a 21-year-old exchange student. She's currently at Flinders University. She's come to us from LA via Chicago and leaves only in a couple of days, so we've just caught her in the nick of time. We're going to get to LA in a second, Julianne.
Okay.
How have you found Adelaide, firstly?
Wow, okay. Adelaide is definitely a change of pace. Very slow. The metro system is, it takes me hours to get to Rundle Mall. But I love how homey it is. I love the homey feeling. I love the sense of security. I feel very safe here.
It was interesting. We were talking on the way up here and you were saying you can't even have your phone out. And yet I noticed you get here at the station, you've got your purse laid out on the desk here and, you know, casual and relaxed. It must be a nice feeling for a change.
Yeah, I've been here for too long. When I get home, I need to figure it out.
What do you mean she can't get it out?
Her phone?
Yeah.
People take it out of your hands. They steal it.
Here?
No.
Over there.
In Chicago, I've seen people's phones get snatched out of their hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Train system. So I hide it in my pocket. I don't want anybody taking my phone.
I think that's the mantra of everyone under, I think now it's got to be under 60, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's getting that way, isn't it?
Everyone's getting so connected with it. And you're finding our metro system a little bit lacking.
Definitely lacking. It takes me hours to get to and from. I feel like it's more convenient to just walk in some cases. Like from living at Flinders, I usually would just walk down to Marion as opposed to take the bus, because it takes hours on the bus as opposed to 30-minute walk. So
right. And in LA, I don't remember it being much better with travel. Is it?
Well, LA, everyone has a car, so that's
right.
The convenience. Yeah, you know someone with the car. Being that I'm on exchange, I don't really know many people, and people, you know, they have their own thing, so they're not trying to give me a ride everywhere I need to go. But in Chicago, trains take me everywhere.
Yeah, the system there is far better.
Yeah.
But so LA would mimic us a little bit better, wouldn't it? Because we're all pretty car centric in this
town.
And
it's quite sprawled, to be fair, with LA. It's, you sort of would stick to your area mainly, I imagine.
Right, exactly. So
it's a bit like Sydney then, isn't it? Like if you live in Sydney, have you been to Sydney?
I have. And Sydney to me reminded me so much of New York.
It does. It's a mini.
Yes.
It's a mini version, isn't it?
Exactly. I loved it. Mm. Sydney was beautiful. It was so fast paced out there.
Well, compared to here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And compared to Melbourne. I went to Melbourne and it was more cosmopolitan, I would say.
A bit like San Fran. I reckon it's like San Francisco.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because I've always compared that way. San Francisco is Melbourne. Oh, no, I actually thought Adelaide was more San Francisco.
I would say Melbourne.
You would have said Melbourne?
Because it has the bay.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Well, then where are we?
We're a country town, and to come up into Mount Barker, we're even more of a country town. But some people like that. Now, I want to find out a little bit more about LA.
Okay.
So what's important to LA people?
I would say status. Food's really important to us. We have so many different eateries.
By status, do you mean your standing in your job, in your money? What are you referring to there? Or all of it?
I would say your name, so to speak. Social media has introduced so many new names. So many people has given so many people an opportunity as far as whatever career they want to strive for, whether that be art, singing, acting, whatever. Just the ranking you hold. The more people that know you, the more you're praised, and you want to be praised in such a big town. You want people to know who you are.
And there's so many opportunities over there, though, as well, isn't there? There's so many people, so
right.
If you make it big, I imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get that foot in the door,
you're off and running.
Exactly.
Yeah. And just reiterating that you're here to learn journalism. That's your bag at the moment. That's
correct.
Where you're thinking of heading with your job.
Yes.
So you'd have a lot to write about when you go back to LA.
Definitely. Oh, my diary is filled. Yes.
And given that you don't live there now, you live in Chicago, but during your time in LA, and your mum and dad and your family are there.
Right.
Which are going to see you soon.
Exactly.
Excited.
Yes.
Earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
How do you live with that? Because I've actually been there myself during one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you guys do? Have you got a shelter that you hide in? Do you just run into the doorway and kiss your bottom for the best?
Well, for the past few earthquakes, we've all kind of just slept through them, and we wake up and we're like, did you feel that earthquake?
Just read about it in the paper.
Exactly. And then go back to sleep.
Oh, wow. So there's none of that fear. Do you go and see the earthquake movies when they come out?
No, I don't want to. No.
Don't want that in.
Yeah, I don't want that in
my head. A bit too close to home, literally, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's quite interesting that you've got that earthquake thing, and then you've got the greatest place on earth just down the road called Disneyland.
Right.
I love that place.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we all?
Have you been to Disneyland?
Yes, of course. Yeah. We actually run a race, a 5K, called the Disney Marathon every year.
Yeah.
And people travel from all over the world for this race, and it's quite magical. You run through the park. You see all the characters. They introduce the new theme that they have that year. So it's I love it. I look forward to doing it every year. I do it with my two brothers. Meet so many people.
That's just terrific, isn't it? 5K, you say?
Yeah, you can do 5K. There's 10K, half marathon.
Mm. And what themes? What sort of themes have they put behind it?
They've had Tinkerbell.
Oh, yes.
Star Wars.
Yep.
Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm sure this year we'll probably have something to do with, like, finding Dorothy. I mean, Dory. Not Dorothy, right?
I was calling her Dorothy last week. I had to be corrected. That's a better name, isn't it?
Exactly.
Finding Dorothy. Yeah. Is that like finding Dot the book? And have you won?
Well, it's not really competitive in
isn't
that
it?
Sense. Everyone gets a medal. It's just
that's
for
awesome.
Fun. Yeah, it's just a magical experience. So I love it.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go to a short break.
Okay.
We'll come back and have a little bit more of a chat with you, Julianne,
perfect.
Who is visiting us from LA and Chicago, where she is studying. Continuing our conversation with a delightful young woman from LA, who actually is an exchange student from Chicago, where she's doing her degree in media and journalism. And we were talking with you, Julianne, about LA, but I'm sort of wanting to move to Chicago because I've actually never been there. Mm-hmm. And just wondering about university there compared to uni here.
Definitely a huge difference. So my home university in Chicago is called Columbia College Chicago. It's a liberal arts school, so there's no science, mathematics, any of that, although we are taught that in order to retain our degree. But strictly arts and everything, so the classes are formed and catered to the students and their specific interests. So everyone that I study with has the same major as me. And I love this because we spark new ideas from each other. We learn from each other, one another, not strictly the professor. And our professor is a skilled, he may have been or she may have been an ex-radio host or an ex-writer or may have owned a newspaper. They have some type of, like, they've been in the field.
They've got professionalism behind them, haven't they? Yeah.
Exactly. So it's great to learn from someone who has experience as opposed to just someone who's just reading a book and telling you what they read.
And you were saying, Julianne, before that the our study is more a pack study method as opposed to it's really individually assessed with you, isn't it? And
exactly.
And therefore the work you produce therefore becomes your own.
Exactly.
In many respects.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I was telling you before, I feel more passionate about the work I do at home because I feel more passion coming from my instructors. They want me to learn, so I want to show them that I'm learning. Here, if I miss my lectures, I can just watch them online. And honestly, I don't watch them online after I miss them because I've already forgot about it. So when it comes down to producing the work, it's not my best work because I feel like the instructor doesn't care. So then therefore, I feel like I shouldn't care.
That's interesting. So do you not do online teaching at all in Columbia?
We have online courses, but because of the type of learner I am, I need to be present, so I don't do online courses.
So they don't give you when you're doing your course at Columbia, mm-hmm. it's all teacher one-on-one or class on one?
It's a small class. It's not one-on-one, but the teacher definitely gives you one-on-one attention. So if they see you struggling in any way, they will come to you. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a really interesting thing here because the university here is making a decision to go to filmed lectures.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had we had one lecture, which you probably know, you're doing the same subject as me, but there are only three people turning up to the lecture. Right. I mean, that's really hard for a lecturer to get anything across when he's got that little response.
So they're returning to doing online and staying at home.
They want to actually move in that direction to go online, and they're happy for the students to do
that
with them.
See, I don't like that. I think you need to be there.
You miss
exactly.
That?
Yeah. And I know they've even doing online teaching a teacher to be a teacher. How do you become a teacher if you don't have contact
with the teacher?
Maybe
that's what students will say.
It's a bit crazy. Yeah. And the other thing, I did a bit of research on unis over there compared to us. It sounded like you've got your own city. Like I was reading where at 2 o'clock in the morning you can ring up and get a delivery from anywhere.
Oh my God.
You know, this is what you would be missing.
So much. So many times I'm up at wee hours of the morning and I'm hungry. I just need that food to just fully help me finish whatever I'm trying to get through, and there's nothing open. And if there's something open, it's 6 miles away. I can't hop on the train. The buses are done for the night.
Exactly. It's a shutdown.
Yeah, it's shut down. So what am I to
do? Isn't that amazing that you can just pick up the phone over there and that's what you do? You're in your dorm because you're studying and people cram.
And they don't have close signs because they're never close. they don't need to put their hours of business on the window.
And also you have a U-Pass. What's a U-Pass?
Yes, so it's basically just a student card and it's access to every transportation system. So the trains, the buses. We don't have ferries or anything in Chicago, but the trains, the buses, the upper ground and underground subway. So,
and that's incorporated in the cost of your learning, isn't it? So it's all part of the deal. See, to me, that's really a sensible thing to be doing for the kids.
I agree.
But they've got access to the public transport, and that's the beauty of it, isn't it?
Yeah, true. And the fact that they can ring up and get fed when they're doing their cramming. I think that's really important.
And it teaches us to be independent. You know, when you have that U-Pass, you have to learn how to get from point A to point B on your own. So as opposed to here, like,
you hop in the car.
Yeah, exactly.
GPS.
Yeah.
We've got a million questions, and I know we're going to run out of time, but one question I do want to go to. Facebook is so big here in Australia. Is that your method of communication in the US as well?
It's so funny because it's not. I actually logged off of Facebook before I entered high school.
How could you do that?
My mom logged on, so I had to log off. I'm like, okay, this is for you. I need to find my lane. And our lane for my generation, I would say, is like Snapchat, Instagram.
My daughter's Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, everything's funny.
Exactly, yes.
Peek.
Exactly. Selfies all day.
Yeah. It's only us, Lee.
So it's only an older generation thing, Facebook now, is it?
Yeah, like the only people who like my status are my relatives. And I'm like, oh, where's my friends? They're on Snapchat.
See, we're only just caught up.
Yeah.
And we can't even handle Twitter.
We
were trying to study that once to work out.
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
It just went over our heads. It was terrible.
I've still got a Twitter account. They still send me the information. You know, do you want to get me involved? I said, no.
Twitter's so fast-paced. It's hard to keep up with.
Now,
I was going to ask you, Chicago as a city. Now, we're comparing LA to Chicago, and we can probably compare it back to Adelaide.
Yeah.
Is it a friendly city? Do people say g'day when they're walking down the street? Do you pop into a shop and the shop assistant's nice to you? Is it that type of place, Chicago?
Well, we don't say g'day. That's so Australian.
Oh, what do you say?
We say hi.
Oh, okay.
You know, what's up?
But, what's up? That's what they say.
Yeah, exactly. But people are quite friendly. It's actually weird because when I walk out the shops in Adelaide, I'll say thank you, and they'll look at me like, "What? Why are you didn't even buy anything?" You know, but. In Chicago,
Do you just feel like an idiot? Don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I always say thank you as I walk out the door.
Yeah,
that's good manners.
They don't realise you've pinched something though, either. No, I'm not saying that for Julianne. I'm saying that.
I'm sorry. One's tarred, the other one's tarred. No, I think the manners in America are second to none. I love the service over there. I just think it's never too hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's. We've got a lot to learn, and I do think it comes down to what you're paid.
Yeah.
And you have to work hard.
Yeah.
But I think it's now ingrained over there that that's what service is all about.
I agree, because we have tips. We give tips. You guys don't accept tips out here. Mm. So I think people work harder for their tips to get that money, because you tip based on the service you felt that you received. So I've had bad service and I've tipped nothing. I've had good service and I'm a college student, so I still tip nothing, but I'll let you know that the service is good. Yeah, exactly.
You do realise in Australia there is one place that you tip. Radio announcers generally get tipped.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So.
We just need an address to stay. Anywhere in LA will do us, won't it? We can do a broadcast from there.
Yeah. We'll start a show. That'll be great.
Now, living on campus, you would be in Chicago, I imagine, and compared to living on campus here in Adelaide, uh-huh. what's the difference here? Is it good?
Oh, okay. More friendly. I had the hardest time making friends out here, which was so sad. I just thought I was going to meet lifelong friends out here. Mm. People already have their set friend groups. They don't want to be interrupted.
Okay.
At home, people are willing, so accepting, so many different friend groups. It's hard to choose who you want to hang out with each night, you know?
But America's like that, isn't it? People don't stay in their hometown. They seem to be quite happy to travel. Why did you travel to Chicago?
Exactly, because every place is different. Every place has its own, they're unique for something.
Mm.
So I think that's why I moved from LA to Chicago, because it's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So
I heard that in Chicago the people are loud but friendly. Is that true? Is that a description of them? Loud but friendly.
I mean, no one's ever screamed in my ear or anything, but they're friendly depending on the weather. When it's cold, everyone's mean. So
it's cold there.
Oh, cold is an understatement.
You've got to wear those puffer jackets, those big things. And even when I looked online, they even take you to a place to buy them so that you don't arrive there and freeze. Because apparently, Lee, they don't have autumn or spring. They only have winter.
Hot. Cold and hot.
And like boiling.
So everyone looks like John Candy in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Is that the way it is?
And then I'd still look like John Candy in the summertime.
Exactly.
Have you fallen down at the bar, Julianne? Actually, if Mum's listening, no, you haven't. And Julianne, what we're going to do, we're having such a wonderful time with you this afternoon. We want to welcome you back at 6. We're going to extend our show by a half hour. But I believe we've agreed, apparently.
Yes.
Lee agreed, and I'm on board, to turning the tables on us. And you can ask us anything you...
Excited.
Oh, I'm so nervous.
Oh.
88.9 FM.
It's just after 5 here and you're here with Evie and Lee, and we've just given dear old Julianne a little bit of reprieve from us, and she's going to be walking the streets of the hills, and hopefully she'll come back with some little tidbits for us and some questions. I believe you know what the questions are, is that right?
I may.
Do you know anything about Monopoly aside from the fact that you play it?
I know I could... I know. Well, actually, I'll tell you what. In fact, I do know. Worldwide, I believe it's nearly over 3,000 people have died playing Monopoly through boredom.
You know what? It just never stops with you. Comedy theatre, that's where you belong. I don't know why you're not in Melbourne at the comedy festival every year, Lee.
All right. So you've got another fact, have you?
Yeah, which is really going to be hard to segue to the Nazis and the World War II.
Ouch.
You ratbag. But anyway, it's good news because apparently the Nazis, and unlike them, actually allowed the Brits to deliver games to the prisoners of war.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, and which was, you know, thank heavens they did something nice. Sorry, guys. Anyway, Monopoly was the game. And Monopoly was so good because what the Brits did was hide real banknotes in amongst the fake ones.
Ah.
So they could use that. They also put in compasses, metal files, and even folded silk maps to make it look like it's part of the game. And in fact, it wasn't. And through that work, many POWs actually escaped.
That's how Hogan's Heroes did all the things they did.
Through Monopoly.
I was wondering how the hell they did it.
See, that idea was not new. They come up with a really, really good idea. Mm. So I thought that was really fascinating about Monopoly.
Well, you got me thinking about games. So I looked up some game stuff too, you know.
Yeah.
And did you realise the bro, David Attenborough, was responsible for masterminding the concept of televised snooker.
Of snooker?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I used to watch that when I was a kid, Eddie Charlton and...
I loved Eddie Charlton. I used to watch that too. I still love playing it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
The game. I did.
Probably
I loved it.
Tells a bit about your youth that people didn't realise up until now.
I used to play pool and snooker and have a beer.
I'll tell you another useless fact too.
About me?
Yeah. This is about porn. The new porn move of advancing two spaces on the chessboard on the first move of the pawn.
Yeah.
You got your mind in the gutter. I'm talking about pawns
and
chess.
No, I'm up.
Yeah, yeah.
When you use the word chess.
Yeah, so the new move of moving at two spaces for the first move was first introduced in Spain in 1280.
1280? Is that how long that boring game's been going?
they said the second book ever written was about chess.
Is that right?
Apparently.
Who in the hell would write about it?
Who the hell bothered to put that fact in?
Probably the person that invented it.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
who probably wrote about it. Wow, that's amazing. What you about Rubik's Cube? Do you know anything about that, how that came about, besides it frustrates the hell out of people?
Yeah, apparently 3,000 people now
are dead from Rubik's Cube as well. Well, Rubik's Cube, the guy who invented it, Erno Rubik, funnily enough, was totally an accident. He's an architect, and he wanted a twistable box that had colourful labels, so when you went into storage, you could just turn it. And that was his concept. And then one day he sort of did it, and then when he turned it, he went, oh, I can't get it back. And it took him a month to actually put it back in order.
And he got it back even more amazingly.
Yeah, and that was how he became a multimillionaire. We've got to come up with some ideas like this, Lee.
We do.
What kind of games can we come up with?
Well, one game I love, and all through my life, a group of mates, every question that needed to be sorted out was done over paper, scissors, rock. So every time. So that's brilliant. But this might surprise you. The smashing of knuckles in the game of paper, scissors, rock is frowned upon. You want another interesting fact?
Yeah, yeah.
There are no rules to a kitchen tea towel flicking fight apart from the dishwasher is out of hands.
Okay. Go back to the scissors, rock thing.
Yeah.
What do you mean the knuckle thing's not allowed?
Well, you know, when you all put your hands in to do 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
Sometimes cheeky boys might go and smack knuckles with their knuckles.
Don't you sort of do that anyway?
Well, you're not supposed to. As I said, it's frowned upon.
Well,
so,
I did tell you I played snooker when I was young.
This is a fact.
Nah. You're lying.
All right, I'll tell you another one then.
Okay, still lying.
Do you realise if there's 23 people in a room,
yeah,
I would call that a party. If there's 23 people in a room, there's a 50% chance that two of them will have the same birthday.
Yeah, that annoys me, that.
That does not compute.
I have heard that before, and given that Ellie and I are born on the same day, that's my daughter, it annoys me that we're not as special as I think we are.
No, that's a good point.
It really annoys me, because I think 365 days out of the year...
Yeah.
And she picked mine.
I wish I knew the Cross Lotto. The Cross Lotto could work in the same way.
Oh, tell you.
If I took 23 tickets, would I get Cross Lotto?
No. Well, actually, you know, I've got figures on Cross Lotto for you.
Okay.
Hold on, I've got to find them. Keep talking.
I'm into figures. So, well, the other thing is I was just sitting at home there and, you know, I was thinking, what if I put 111,101,101 and multiplied it by the same number, what the answer would be?
Huge.
And I discovered it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Million?
No, it's just that's the total.
It's just infinity.
No, that's the total number.
Isn't that funny though, with numbers, they're infinite. There's no finite number, is there?
Why isn't one finite?
Well, am I saying the wrong word then? I'm saying it never stops. It can just keep going. A number. It can just you keep multiplying and multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Okay. We just run out of space on our calculators.
Oh, usually if you're doing it with a calculator.
No, just generally, like even in the universe, you just can't.
Isn't it funny that pie is never ending, and yet if I buy an apple pie,
it goes.
There's never enough.
That's because you go like this.
Yeah.
Actually, while you're talking then about big numbers like that, with cards, you know when you're dealing with cards.
Yes.
Right. I did not believe this when I read it. The permutations within a deck of cards, right? How many do you think there are? How many permutations of numbers could do you reckon?
You mean like in a poker hand or something like
anything,
that?
Anything to do with cards.
How many permutations?
Mm.
12,456.
Very close. If you put the figure 8 in your mind,
yep,
and then add 67 zeros after it, that's how many permutations there are with card numbers. And there are more card combination than stars in the Milky Way, which amounts to as many as 400 billion.
Isn't there more ants than the stars in the Milky Way as well? So that means there's probably as many ants as there are permutations of cards.
Well, they can play cards then, can't they? They'll never run out of time.
With their tiny little paws.
I found that, like, I went, I don't know if I believe that. But then Mr. G said, well, what are the odds in just playing six numbers or eight numbers in lotto? So I looked that up.
Mm.
To win your seven numbers for first prize in lotto, just seven numbers, like, and as you know, with cards, it's three times that, you've got one chance in 45,379,620.
And yet we still throw our money at it.
Well, you and I are worse because we play Powerball.
Yeah, we've got seven.
Yeah. No, you've got six plus Powerball, which means there's that recurring number a number.
Yes, yes.
So our chances...
Oh, you've looked that up too.
I did. A 76,767,600.
I stopped listening at 76 million. I figure that's
close
enough.
Well, you know what? We're very lucky. We won $24.95 the other day.
Oh, did we?
And I reinvested it for us.
Okay, so. On tonight's, it was 15 million tonight.
Yes. And if we become one of those 45 million, we will be the ones that will be laughing.
If we're not here next week, everybody.
We're out of here, baby.
Yep, we'll be broadcasting from, where should we go? Barbados?
Oh, I'm in. Yeah. On a cruise ship. And we'll do from Puerto
Rico.
You don't
know. You don't like cruise ships. You're telling me you.
But if I buy my own.
Oh, okay.
Listen, if I can afford to get one that's released. I did like my last Mediterranean cruise, though.
Okay.
It was really stable. But if I go on a ship and I've won 15 mil and it's not working for me, I can get someone to come along and pick me up, Lee. But being the pauper I am at the moment, if I go on one, they're not going to come and pick me up for a couple of bucks.
No, they're not. I'll just sell and buy a new one.
With our numbers, you know how we're talking about numbers and everything to do with them at the moment. Have you ever wondered, and you probably haven't, but I have, why is it that we go 1 to 10 and then we go 11, 12 and then we go 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18?
Why do we count that way?
Yeah, why do we go 11, 12? Where did those two numbers go?
Oh, so what you're saying is we don't have a 1-teen and a 2-teen.
Yes.
We've found the number 11 and 12.
Yes, we've decided. Well, I had to look that up because apparently it comes from a Germanic term called Einlif, which means one left, or in this particular case it's one left over.
Right.
So it says 10... And then you've got the 11, which is one left over, and then 12, which is the same rule. It comes to twilift, and that's where they've got two left, and that's where they've got the 12 coming through.
Well, why don't they have three left?
They go then to LIF, which is teen, which in itself means 10 or more, but for some reason, sadly lost to antiquity, we have no idea why they actually did it. Just how it happened.
Something more to it, isn't there? Because we've got 12 months of the year. So we don't – that hasn't entered the teens by way of more months. There's something about the number 12 that seems to be fixed in that – like we because decimal, we go 1 to 10.
Yeah.
In the old days, it seems as though it was 1 to 12.
Well, you know in the old days, the Gregorian calendar that we adopt today, well, in the first Roman calendars, there was no January, February. There was only March through to December.
Well, they did. They hibernate for the other 2 months.
No, they didn't exist in that Roman calendar.
So how the seasons must have changed.
Yeah, they had 6 months of 30 days and 4 days. And no, it was the numbers. They had 6 months of 30 days and then they had four of 31 days. And apparently, according to legend, the second king of Rome decided that the old calendar should line up with the year's 12 lunar cycles because our calendar is based on the
back
lunar.
Back on the 12.
Yeah, on the 12, which is the month, the lunar cycles, not to do with with time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so they did that and he decided he'd add 50 days to January and February, which still isn't what we've got today. It just, in how he did it, he took away days from the other from March to December. It just took days away from that and created 2 days of I think it was 30. I think he did in 30. And then he made 129 and made February 28.
Who was this guy? I thought he was in charge of everything.
Numa Pompilius. Pomp. See the names in there?
Pomp and ceremony.
And there's us. So Pompilius.
I could
say that in a really nasty way.
Hey, do you know there's no zero in the Roman number system?
Zero. What is zero?
Nothing.
You're here with Evie and Lee as the sun has set and the beautiful twilight hits, and I'm looking out there and I know it's going to be cold when we leave here, Lee.
No, it's not. It's all in your mind.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, goosebumps. Back down. Back down. Now, Lee, what do you think of scalpers and concerts?
I intensely dislike it. I think it should be illegal because if someone's bought a ticket to anywhere, in my opinion, if they want to on-sell it, I have no problem with it, but I can't see in any case why they should make a profit.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I disagree.
So they go in it. So at the moment there's a concert that just got sold out in Perth.
Okay.
And the scalpers are asking up to $450 for it. And the tickets started at $36.60. I'll give you a hint.
No, that's not right.
Isn't that a point? I'll give you a hint who it was.
Okay.
Okay, everyone, put your hands in the air, sway from side to side, and let's sing Rock-a-bye Your Bear.
Yep, I know.
Everybody clap.
John Lennon.
Everybody it's the sing. Wiggles. The scalpers have even gotten into the Wiggles concert, bought tickets, and within 10 minutes of them being sold out, went on to, what's it called, ticket resale? Ticketmaster resale.
They shouldn't even have a resale site. That should be illegal.
I don't like the resale site, but it's there.
That's wrong. That's even worse wrong because now you're depriving children of being able to see it unless their parents are rich. That's disgusting.
I just think it's appalling behaviour. But, yeah, so, and as I said, they started at $36.60, these tickets. But I'm warning you people, those people that have bought tickets, the Ticketmaster resale, they don't guarantee that those tickets, and I'm not saying those tickets, any tickets that you buy on that site, there's no guarantee behind them. You may not, they mightn't be valid tickets.
Well, that's a good point. They could be
might be suckered in. It's a little bit like when it's grand final day.
Yeah.
People are lucky enough to get a ticket and then they resell them for about 10 times the face value.
I think it should be illegal. I think those people that are doing that, particularly with families and young children, you need to get a grip on your life.
I think so. It's bloody appalling. Yeah. Oops, did I swear then? I did a bit. But that's how cranky I got about it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, can we just give a warning to everyone? It's, you know, it's winter. We've got our fires out. We've got our, you know, fan heaters out. And just today, I read about another fire, and recently in Mount Barker, a Japanese family, $200,000 worth of damage. Please be aware. The one that I read about today was in the kitchen. We sort of said to people, be aware what happens in the kitchen. Keep your fan heaters and heaters away a couple of metres from bedding and that, guys. It's that time of year.
And please get your chimney swept. It's a big risk this time of year.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Now, Julianne, who's our guest in studio, he does that because he's actually known as the goat man of the hills.
It's a sheep.
That's scary.
I was
wondering what sound that was.
He wants to be a clever sheep, but he's just a goat.
Oh.
And every now and then he just does it. It doesn't matter when, he'll just do it.
Sometimes it just comes out of a man.
And we've decided to have, isn't it a goat race? Aren't we going to do, like, instead of the Spanish running of the bulls?
We're going to do the running of the sheep.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. through the hills of up here. The
streets of Mount Barker. Now, Julianne, just to let everybody know, we're on our last section here. We finish at 6 o'clock. However, Julianne is about to take over at 6 o'clock and she's got a couple of very special guests to interview today.
Oh, wow. What about setting her up?
That's sickly.
Right, stay tuned because I will be taking over in this Everything You Wanted to Know will be revealed.
And what's your, you've got a special name for your program, either?
Yes, it's going to be called What's the Deal Jew, which is my blog that I'm starting, so.
Oh, that's interesting.
It
as
is
well.
Interesting. All right, we'll look forward to that in a couple of minutes' time.
Yes. Will we be turning the tables back, or that'll be it? We're just gone.
I promise to tell the truth. Nothing only the truth and nothing but the truth.
Good.
Notice there are no Bibles.
No. Now, we've got a couple of things we need to finish up with, though. They, you know how they talk a lot? Well, they have been talking in the local paper about police recruitment. And I notice, here's one particular one. Why is there a 50-50 gender recruitment quota for the police force? Now, I find this strange because if it's quality all round, then why should there be that? And if you start accepting that, then where's the next step? Do we have 50-50 equality, male, female, into say the public service or into teaching? I mean, at the moment, I think you'll probably find it's 75% women. So you could reverse that and say, well, does it mean men are now going to start getting jobs as well?
Well, with the teaching thing, there's not as many men applying for it anymore, given that the poor return on the dollar and the amount of work and effort teachers put in.
But that's exactly the same. That's exactly the same with the police force. There's not as many women applying for the police force as men. So how does that quota work in reverse?
Oh, there have been, but what they've chosen is men over women. But I'm not going to get into that kind of discussion with you at the pointy end of the day. What I will say, though, is I believe the best person for the job should get the job.
I agree.
That's all.
Yep, I agree.
And that's just generally.
Yep.
Just a general idea. Yep.
It's not meant to be. I'm not meaning for this to be a feminist issue.
Yeah.
It's just an interesting observation.
Yeah. And also, you know, I've met the Assistant Police Commissioner and she has worked hard to get in there.
Eva Yogurt introduced herself to the police commissioner. Was that the?
No, Eva Yogurt went to the Oscars in LA when she was younger, and has a picture on the wall about.
I know. Who did you introduce yourself to the police commissioner as? So as you wouldn't get caught up in any protocol.
Leanne Salvimini.
Yeah, very nice. I asked for that.
You did. I actually thought one of the things that. That's on people's minds at the moment are Woolies revealed that, you know, with the self-service checkouts that you've got, that people are actually stealing. They're not actually being, you know, truthful in what they're putting in the bag.
Surprise.
But that they're willing to absorb the expense of the theft rather than put more people on to give a service. I find that really peculiar.
Well, I think that's what the banks have actually done with this pay wave. They've accepted that anything under $100, they'll wear the risk because of the amount of time and energy it takes to process credit cards, that's worth that risk now. But I've got an opinion. You know my opinion on these self-service checkouts. Having been to London where they've got, you know, they might have 100 of these self-service checkouts, people, please don't use self-service checkouts. You're costing people jobs. Jobs and growth, that's what we need.
Written and spoken by Lisa Vimini for the seat of Mount Barker. Surprise everyone else that's going for that seat.
I just don't like the fact that jobs have been taken away from kids.
I agree.
You know, just don't use the self-service checkouts.
And you know, and they're willing to let thieves win out instead of giving the kids the jobs. And they're putting themselves through uni, doing a lot of jobs through. They do. The poor old kids that are working there and, you know, trying to earn a dollar or the fruit and veg. And you know the other thing that bugs me while we're talking is don't treat people that serve you in stores and fruit and veg stores or, you know, supermarket like they're idiots and that they're there, you know, and that you're smarter than them. Half of those kids would run us under the table with their smarts and where they're going.
And they'll probably end up running the country.
Exactly. So you know, just respect, though, you know, no matter what the job is, just respect people, you know, in hospitality. It just annoys me when I see pompous asses, you know, going clicky-click over here and come over here and serve me, you jerk.
That's just Eve getting down from her soapbox in case nobody heard that.
Well, I've got to now go to music and I've got to prepare myself mentally for the grilling we're going to get off young Julianne. That's the thing. So are you ready?
I'm looking forward to it. It's been a lovely show today, by the way, too, and there's more to come.
There is. Oh, that was horrible. Why did you hit me like that? No, he didn't.
Welcome to What's the Deal, Jew, courtesy of 88.9 Hills Radio. So, I think we're going to start off easy, you guys. First question is, were you born in Adelaide Hills?
I wasn't. This is Evie speaking.
Just right?
Because, otherwise, I might think they leave. No, I was born in Sydney to migrant parents. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Where did they, after they kicked you out of there, where'd you go?
After I left Sydney. Right. I left Sydney. Went to Launceston in Tasmania. And then from Launceston in Tassie, moved to Adelaide in 1980. So I think I own a badge saying I'm Adelaidean now. Oh, well, Lee's saying no.
No, unless you're born
36
here.
36
Unless you're born here.
I lived
like
here
us
for
real
36
people.
Years.
Yeah, no, just that we haven't kicked you out either.
And it's unacceptable, 36 years.
Yeah, yeah. And Julian, I was born here in Adelaide, and it's a lovely little country town.
No one lets him out.
It's nice to, it's nice to go visiting, and it's always lovely to come
and
home.
They always send him back.
So have things changed much? Has the town grew?
Well, the
to any extent?
There's a thing called the Britannia Roundabout. That's changed. That's probably the only thing I know that's changed in Adelaide in about the last 100 years.
Wow. And Julianne won't know what the Britannia
Roundabout
is.
Do you know what a roundabout is on a road where cars go around it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a big one with a five roads coming into it. That's been a stress point of Adelaide forever.
Because you nearly died stressful. Every time you went near it.
Yeah, those roundabouts are scary. They are. Who invented that?
Well, this one was called the Five Ways, and that's how when you hit that pocket of traffic, uh-huh. there were five ways you could come into it. Yes, the well, horror on your face is how I would come
yeah,
there with grip.
Lost for words.
Terror. It was on sweat down my back. And then they've changed it to a double roundabout, which sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it works.
It works great.
It
really?
Works really, really well. We were all very dismissive of it when we saw the plans
yeah,
for
we
it.
Had a lot of, made a lot of fun out of that.
But it worked very, yeah, very yeah. well. I think Adelaide's changed. I think uh-huh. it's become more cosmopolitan.
Right.
I think it's grown in theatre. It's always had a wonderful theatre background. Mm-hmm. But we've now got a... I don't know, did you enjoy the... Adelaide Fringe, did you have the opportunity
yes, that?
That
was
How
great.
Cool is that?
And that was great.
That's when we come alive. And Adelaide Fringe went from a couple of people doing it on the side now. How many acts was there this year? 1,100?
Yeah, over 1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and then, you know, we are known, like we had the cabaret recently. I don't know if you're into cabaret music, but that's mm-hmm. been on. Where you're looking at the Guitar Festival
well,
the
Guitar
that's
Festival
come up.
Now, and they've now got a Guitar Fringe that's got over 250 acts.
Wow.
Already registered for it, so we're all ready to have party time.
Yeah,
and we just
that?
Need an excuse. August?
Yeah, I think so. And
oh,
then,
okay.
Yeah, and there's Ozfest, Oz Festival. So yeah. there's a lot that happens when it comes to the art side.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And as you would have noticed too, we're pretty sports minded.
Yes.
It's a two team town, like a bit like your LA with Lakers and Clippers.
Right.
And you are who are you a fan of? Lakers or Clippers?
Clippers.
Yes, see?
Definitely Clippers.
And I can already see your jacket, which distresses me and appalls me, but you've got a Crows jacket on.
Yeah, now I'm a Crows fan.
And it
that obviously comes from, that was, they gave you that, obviously. You,
no.
You had to buy that.
Yeah.
You spent your hard-earned on that.
Of course, I love the game. It was amazing.
And the best team in town.
Thank
I wish
you.
I had the music. If I hadn't known that, I would have played it. and it's a good year for you to have picked up on us because we're doing very, very well. I'm very proud of my team.
Yeah. They won the game that I went and witnessed. So
which one was that? Who did you play?
Well, I don't remember. I just
some losers.
Won. Yeah, exactly.
Was it the showdown?
It was the Sydney team.
Don't play with the master.
Time to move on with your questions, Julianne.
We have to come back after this music.
Oh, already?
Yes.
Okay.
That was quick. Welcome back to What's the Deal, Jew, 88.9 Hills Radio. So, I have a really, really good question, I think. How do you make friends here out in Adelaide? It's been the hardest thing for me. I still have no friends. When I get back home, I will have nobody to contact when
oh,
I come back.
Terrible. Yeah. Adelaide, what have you done? How embarrassing.
Well, you know all about it, Evie. You were telling us before.
I suffered the same fate when I first arrived in Adelaide all those many moons ago. I reckon it took 2 years before I could break the shell of getting in with people. I think what you'll find here, because they go to school from kindy, basically, through to high school, it's the only place in Australia that I've found that friendship group stays tight.
Right.
Because when I was in Sydney, once you left high school and everyone just went their own way.
Right.
I just never, ever really saw them again.
You meet new people.
Yeah. But here, and I don't know if you found it at all, Lee, but I found it with our kids, that they're all still got their real tight friendship groups from when they went through school.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And I think it's much more clicky. We know our friends from our areas. People don't move here like they move in Sydney and they move in America. People stay in the suburbs where they were born in.
Right.
So you know everybody. You know who your friendship group is, and you know who you want to hang out with. And you tend to not even move across town and meet people. So I can certainly understand why it's difficult. And I think there's something for Adelaide to learn. I think we need to be more friendly, more giving, more open to people.
Well, right. Proactive in welcoming people, because we are, like, we're, you know, the convention centre of capital of Australia, where we've got groups coming in all the time. We've got overseas students from Asia, America, all over the place.
Yeah.
So I would think the universities themselves need to give themselves a little slap in the back of the head and wake up a little bit and say, well, how can we get kids to cross over that and cause some friendships? Because this will be weird. Matthew McConaughey, who you would know as an actor.
Right.
He was an exchange student years ago with a family in Sydney, and he got made lots of friendship groups before he was a famous person or anything.
Right.
So it worked for him, and that's why I'm a bit saddened that here in Adelaide we've still got, and I've been here for 36 years, this problem of not opening the door in some way.
Yeah.
I think it's almost like an English reserve in Adelaide, because we were a free nation, like a free state, because I don't know if you know the history, but when the English sent out their so-called prisoners, this was a penal colony, and they just dumped everyone. But South Australia was the only one that only had people come over that didn't have any prison records and weren't mistreated.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so there's a bit of history there. So I'm wondering whether the English Reserve is sort of coming through.
Yeah, because I visited Sydney. I've made friends out there, but Adelaide, it's just been impossible to break everyone.
Well, see, that's something that we've got to learn and we've got to move on with.
Do they, in Sydney, do they still wear those striped jackets, the convict jackets? did you notice those everywhere?
No.
Oh, they've let them go now, have they?
Yeah. Okay. Well, speaking of those jackets in uni, did you guys have to wear those cute little school uniforms, the vest with the schoolgirl hat and the shoes, the Oxford shoes? I just love it. I love seeing the kids.
Most disgusting outfits I've ever worn in my life. What did you wear?
Oh, I used to have to wear the
what
wear
dress
the
was
little,
it?
No, I didn't wear. Wait, a, I didn't wear a dress. Funny enough, only on social occasions. But no, I had to wear those little grey trousers, and always had to wear a blue and red tie, and had the little cap with a little
the peak
on it. Yeah, that was like, so. We're not talking about peak like a baseball cap.
Okay,
this is an old fashioned one with about a 1 inch,
almost like a cricket cap.
Really?
Yeah, it's a bit like a cricket cap, which no one in Julianne's world will know about.
Yeah, sort of round there, and just a bit of a sun visor sort of.
But I didn't mind. I didn't mind a uniform.
I liked
really.
My winter one. I felt pretty nice in that.
Was it different? You had a jacket?
Yeah, it was. It was a navy blue tunic.
Okay.
With a white shirt, tie. I had a belt and a beautiful blazer with a thing on it, and it was really lovely. And we had to wear a hat. But then we had to put like fawn socks with it and brown shoes. Who does that with navy, honestly?
Right, okay, yeah.
But the dress, holy moly, was the ugliest thing I've ever worn in my life. It was a honeycomb check, really small little check, with a little round thing here. And then it was buttons, blousoned, tucked in the waist, and then it went like this.
That sounds so cute.
Oh, it was revolting. And then we had to wear it below our knees. And so to hitch it up was really bad.
Really?
Because as we tried to make our thing short,
it got
just
tired.
Got...
Yeah.
And then it looked like we had these balloons on the side of our hips, so it was pretty bad. We used to get measured at the door before we went in, how long our uniform was.
Did you used to have to wear a uniform?
Well, I wore a uniform at my elementary school, and then I was like, what? I want to express myself. I want to go shopping. I love shopping. So I switched schools, no longer had to wear a uniform. Then I noticed how convenient a uniform was. Didn't have to struggle every morning picking out something to wear. But all of high school, and then I went back to middle school. I had a uniform there. It wasn't as strict as the uniforms are out here. Just a navy shirt and navy pants, black shoes, very simple. And high school, no uniform, loved it.
Yeah, some of our schools don't have that ruling. It's more the private schools that do.
Oh, okay.
So now in America, is your private school the cheaper one or is the public school? I know in England it's reversed to here. The public schools are the more expensive ones and the private aren't, Lee? Well, it's the reverse of that I'm aware of.
Yeah, the private is the ones that you pay more for.
Is it?
The public schools are open to the public, so they're free.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think the terminology in England's a bit different though.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Do you find with a uniform that it makes everyone not, you know, like even? Do you find that? Did you find that?
I think a uniform does make people more even. You don't have someone wearing super expensive shoes and super expensive clothes and the other kids looking at them and feeling insecure about their clothes and what they're wearing. So I think the uniform made us all equal, but also not having to wear a uniform gave you a chance to express yourself and express your style and who you were. Yeah. Okay, so back to the questions. What do you think the first thing a tourist should do when entering Adelaide?
Well, the first thing you would do in Adelaide.
Because there's not much.
No, there's not. The city centre's small.
Right.
We're very close to the airport.
Right.
Like, well, within a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
So it's a very close city like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's the general way you'd come in. You probably wouldn't in Australia travel by bus or train into a capital city.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do here, I guess, hang around the parklands, have a bit of a look. We've got a nice zoo, we've got nice botanical gardens, but that's not exciting stuff.
Right.
Other things you'd want to seek out, I think, would be to the Barossa Valley is, we're really famous for our wine.
Oh, okay.
And our wineries, and I think Barossa Valley is a terrific place to get around. In fact, you head half an hour in any direction of Adelaide, you're going to find a winery.
Really?
Yeah. Don't comment on our red noses, please.
I'd go straight to a pub.
Okay. Yeah.
Because then you get to know, meet people, you just see, you know, you can have a bite to eat, you watch the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's in the city they've got pop-up pubs and little wonderful little hidden gems that...
Yeah.
Did you go to any of those?
Yeah, not necessarily in Adelaide, but when
back
I
home?
Visit... No, when I... We don't have many back home, but when I visit Melbourne, there was... pubs and everything, cafes that also sold liquor, everything, in these little discreet little alleyways.
Yeah.
So I loved
it. It's lovely there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, you are old enough now to drink, aren't you?
I just turned 21 a few months ago.
Okay. Does your mother, what's your mother's name?
Elaine.
Hello, Elaine.
Hello, Elaine.
Hi.
Hi, Dad. We haven't forgotten you.
Yeah, we haven't.
I hope, you had something to do with it.
I hope you're aware. I hope you're aware that your daughter's been drinking here.
Oh,
sorry. Oh. you already told her.
No. Dibba,
don't listen.
No, that's just, he just tells lies.
Exactly.
All the time.
I'm joking, of course.
Now he's lying again.
That little halo slipped a little bit. Just pick it up.
She's on her way home. We haven't destroyed her at all.
No.
She hasn't been to a winery, for heaven's sake. So until you've done that, you'll have to come back.
Right.
There are so many different places. You can see we've got Planetarium as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all the theatre stuff that you could have gone to see.
Yeah.
And you'll be missed.
Aww.
You will be missed.
And I will miss it. I'll miss the comfort. I'll miss how just quiet it is.
Well, you were saying that you can leave your purse hanging around.
Right.
I mean, you would never do that. You had it hanging on the table here.
Don't tell. I'm going to get in trouble for that too.
Mind you, back in the LA, you've got theatre, which is fantastic. You've got your mum and dad and you're going to be so excited.
Yeah, and it's summer right now, so.
Oh, so the cockles of your heart will be all warmed up.
Exactly. I can't wait to just be sun-kissed. Okay. So, Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney. No, scratch that. Last question. Finish this sentence. Adelaide is?
Radelaide.
Adelaide is Radelaide.
You knew that question, so you had that ready.
No, I didn't.
Finish it. Adelaide is what? Home.
Aww.
It's home.
Mm.
Aww. Yeah, and on that note.
Well, that was a bit lovely.
Is there hearts and
it's been
flowers,
lovely to have you, Julianne.
Thank you so much.
Would you like to finish off your program?
Yes, thank everyone so much for listening. Tune in. I'm starting a blog. It's running a little slow. I'm still trying to pick everything up. You can follow it at What's the Deal Jew, spelled just like it is, What's the Deal Jew, on Twitter, Instagram, and you will find all the updates there. Thank you guys so much. It's been great.
It's been wonderful having you. And Lee, I've enjoyed your company.
Indeed. For change.
And just Lee and I will be back next Tuesday, and we look forward to it.